ಎಲ್ಲರಿಗೂ ಸ್ವಾಗತ. ಆತ್ಮೀಯ ಕೇಳುಗರೆ, ನೀವು ಕೇಳ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀರಾ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ FM 89.6, ಕನಸುಗಳ ದಿಟ್ಟ ಹೆಜ್ಜೆ. ಇದು ಮೈಸೂರು ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯದ ಪ್ರಸ್ತುತಿ.
ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ 89.6 FM.
ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ ವಿಶೇಷ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮಕ್ಕೆ ಸ್ವಾಗತ. ನಮ್ಮ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ ವಿಶೇಷ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮದಲ್ಲಿ ಇಂದು ಮೈಸೂರು ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯದ ನಿವೃತ್ತ ಪ್ರಾಧ್ಯಾಪಕರಾದ ಪ್ರೊಫೆಸರ್ ಆರ್ ಸೋಮಶೇಖರ್ ಸರ್, ಇವರು ಇಂದು ನಮ್ಮ ಜೊತೆ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ ಉಪನ್ಯಾಸ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮದಲ್ಲಿ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರೈಸೇಷನ್ ಬಗ್ಗೆ ನಮ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾರ್ಥಿಗಳಿಗೆ ಹಾಗೂ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ ಕೇಳುಗರಿಗಾಗಿ ಪ್ರಸ್ತುತಪಡಿಸುತ್ತಿದ್ದಾರೆ. ಪ್ರೊಫೆಸರ್ ಆರ್ ಸೋಮಶೇಖರ್ ಸರ್ ಇವರ ಕಿರುಪರಿಚಯ ನಮ್ಮ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ ಕೇಳುಗರಿಗೆ. ಇವರು ಮೈಸೂರು ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯದಲ್ಲಿ MSc ಇನ್ ಫಿಸಿಕ್ಸ್ನಲ್ಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಟಿಂಕ್ಷನ್ನಲ್ಲಿ ಉತ್ತೀರ್ಣರಾಗಿ 7ನೇ ರ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಸಹ ಪಡೆದಿರುತ್ತಾರೆ. ಭೌತಶಾಸ್ತ್ರದ ಸ್ಟಡೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ಬಯೋಫ್ಯೂಂಜನ್ಸ್ ಆಪ್ಟಿಕಲ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಚರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮಾಲಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಆರ್ಡರಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಿಕ್ವಿಡ್ ಕ್ರಿಸ್ಟಲ್ಸ್ ವಿಷಯದಲ್ಲಿ PhDಯನ್ನು ಪಡೆದಿದ್ದು 1986ರಲ್ಲಿ ಯಂಗ್ ಸೈಂಟಿಸ್ಟ್ ಅವಾರ್ಡ್ ಅನ್ನು ಪಡೆದಿದ್ದಾರೆ. ಮ್ಯಾಂಚೆಸ್ಟರ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಿಟ್ಯೂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೈನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟೆಕ್ನಾಲಜಿ ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯದಲ್ಲಿ ಪೋಸ್ಟ್ ಡಾಕ್ಟರಲ್ ತರಬೇತಿಯನ್ನು ಪಡೆದು ನಂತರ ಡಾ ಸೋಮಶೇಖರ್ ಅವರು ಮೈಸೂರು ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯದಲ್ಲಿ ಉಪನ್ಯಾಸಕರಾಗಿ ವೃತ್ತಿಯನ್ನು ಪ್ರಾರಂಭಿಸಿ ಪ್ರಾಧ್ಯಾಪಕರಾಗಿ ವಿಭಾಗದ ಅಧ್ಯಕ್ಷರಾಗಿ 18ಕ್ಕೂ ಹೆಚ್ಚು ವಿದ್ಯಾರ್ಥಿಗಳಿಗೆ PhD ಮಾರ್ಗದರ್ಶನ ಮಾಡಿದ್ದಾರೆ ಹಾಗೂ 300ಕ್ಕೂ ಅಧಿಕ ರಾಷ್ಟ್ರೀಯ ಮತ್ತು ಅಂತಾರಾಷ್ಟ್ರೀಯ ವೈಜ್ಞಾನಿಕ ಪತ್ರಿಕೆಗಳನ್ನು ಪ್ರಕಟಿಸಿದ್ದು ಮೈಸೂರು ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯಕ್ಕೆ ಹಲವು ಪ್ರಾಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಗಳನ್ನು ತರುವಲ್ಲಿ ವಿಶೇಷ ಪಾತ್ರವನ್ನು ವಹಿಸಿದ್ದಾರೆ. ಇವರು ದೇಶ ವಿದೇಶಗಳಲ್ಲಿ ಕಾರ್ಯಾಗಾರ ಮತ್ತು ಸಮ್ಮೇಳನಗಳನ್ನು ನಡೆಸಿರುತ್ತಾರೆ. ಇವರು ತಮ್ಮ ಅಪಾರ ಸೇವೆಯನ್ನು ಮೈಸೂರು ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯಕ್ಕೆ ಹಾಗೂ ವಿದ್ಯಾರ್ಥಿಗಳಿಗೆ ನೀಡಿದ್ದಾರೆ. ಇವರಿಗೆ ನಮ್ಮ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ ವಿಶೇಷ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮಕ್ಕೆ ಮತ್ತೊಮ್ಮೆ ಸ್ವಾಗತವನ್ನು ಕೋರುತ್ತಾ ಈ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮವನ್ನು ಪ್ರಾರಂಭಿಸೋಣ.
This is Professor Sonshekar. In continuation of my talk on characterization of materials, today I will talk to you about natural materials. It's about palm fibers. Now, palm fibers, normally when students while doing MSc, they approach most of the teachers, and also likewise, you know, I was approached by Dinesh Vasant Hegde. Dinesh Vasant Hegde was doing this MSc and he approached me for a problem. He wanted some project work so that he can use that as a springboard to get a fellowship abroad. And in that sense, you know, he approached me. Even though I had retired when we did this work in 2018, he approached me and then he asked me for a problem. I've been always, I know, look at problems in nature, and I asked him where you are from. He said, I'm from Siddhapura near Uttar Karnataka. So what plants do you have in your place? He said, sir, vine, palm and rosella natural fibers are there. I want to study it. So I asked him to bring those fibers. And this is how this work started. And finally, it was published in Taylor and Francis Journal of Natural Fibers in 2018. So we started working on vine palm and rosella fibers. The botanical names for this is Caryota urens and Hibiscus subdariffa. So I short formed it as CU and HS. CU stands for Caryota urens, Hibiscus subdariffa, that is HS. It is rosella fibers, and CU stands for vine palm fibers. Now, these fibers strands were examined both in the dry form as well as by treating with water, that is wet form. And we had very interesting results from these studies. So we carried out X-ray diffraction, Fourier transform infrared spectroscopy, and SEM, that is scanning electron microscope properties, and also energy dispersive X-ray spectroscopy, the short form is EDX. The internal structure of these fibers and also mechanical properties, we used universal testing machine, and I will elaborate on these studies in this presentation. Now, natural fibers are used in many ways, the cotton, silk, jute, because of their strength and durability, and also for the long shelf life. Many of us know very well that silk textile fiber, textile materials will last long. It has a very long shelf life. And in that sense, we started looking at these fibers. These plants are grown in Uttar Karnataka, vine palm and rosella plants. So that is HS fiber and CU fiber. Vine palm, you refer it as CU fiber. Rosella plants, you refer it as HF fiber. Now, these agricultural products, they form industrial, basis for industrial products and also for alternative energy sources. So they are low cost and eco-friendly materials, composite materials, which is now a subject of green importance. Of course, we have the conventional plastics, which is a product of crude oil, and there is a continuous increase in the cost of these plastic materials. They are not biosensitive materials. Therefore, we always look for materials which degrade in nature. So that is the reason we started looking at this CU Caryota urens fiber and Hibiscus subdariffa fibers. In Canada, CU fibers, you call it as Baine. Baine in Canada. Hibiscus HS fiber, you call it as Pundi in Canada. They are freely available in Western Ghats. It is also known that vine palm fibers, that is CS fibers, has medicinal role. And in ancient times, it was used to treat any chronic and rheumatic swelling. So these are quite important in that sense, and it has got antibacterial activity with against tested pathogens, and then also it has got other medicinal properties, and they are also treated in form of non-alcoholic drinks. So these agriculture products are quite interesting. In that sense, we started doing a characterization study of these fibers. So let me just recall that now we are looking at two types of fibers. One is Caryota urens, that is CU fibers, and Hibiscus subdariffa fibers, which is known as Pundi in Karnataka. Now, how did we extract these fibers? These fibers are extracted by retting procedure, R-E-T-T-I-N-G. Writing essentially means treating with water. The process of extracting fibers, it has got from the long lasting life stem or bast of fiber plants. So from these fibers were extracted by retting procedure. That is, you put the stems in the water and then very slowly you pull out the fibers out of this. You have retting means essentially water treated procedure. Now CU fibers are extracted by mechanical retting, that is you pull it out mechanically, as well as the HS fibers. Sometimes in water, sometimes without water also you can pull out the fibers. So these fibers are cleaned for knots and other things, and then finally it is used for the characterization procedure. So sample is very, very simple way of preparing. You put the stem of the plant in water and pull the fibers out of it, either in water or without water. So we have taken 4 different samples. For each fiber, 2 different, one is wet and another one is dry fibers. Wet means wetted with water. Dry means totally water content in these fibers are removed by drying procedures. So we have 4 different types of samples, and then these were examined using different procedures. The first one being the X-ray diffraction procedure, wherein we have used Rigaku Smart Lab, which is available in Material Science Department, and this has got a graphite monochromator and its wavelength is 1.5406 angstrom, and we started recording this X-ray diffraction pattern in steps of 0.02 degree for a range of 6 to 60 degrees. FTIR spectroscopy study of these 4 different samples were carried out in the scanning range of 4000 centimeter inner zone to 400 centimeter inner zone. Scanning electron microscope photographs were also recorded in order to look at the fiber external morphology at a lower resolution, at very high resolution, and then EDX, that is energy dispersive X-ray spectroscopy, was carried out on these samples to identify different elements present in the materials. So these instruments were of very important. You could get information at the angstrom level, how the molecules are arranged, what type of molecules, all those things we could get it from XRD, SEM and FTIR studies. Now XRD study gave 2-3 reflections, and each one, for each samples the pattern were very different. In fact, there was one strong peak at 2 theta 23 degrees. It was quite puzzling for us. Then we looked at the pure cellulose, native cellulose recordings, and then there was a strong reflection, strong Bragg type reflection at 23 degrees in native cellulose. Immediately we came to conclusion that most of the material in these palm and rosella fibers are made up of cellulose. The maximum composition is of cellulose. So that was quite interesting for us, because we had done some work on cellulose, that is cotton fibers, which are available in Karnataka in plenty and in different varieties. So we had done some work on structure property relation in cotton fibers. So we could immediately identify the importance of these fibers, because it has maximum crystalline, the composition of cellulose. Then we looked at the crystallinity. We found that crystallinity in dry and sample region, sample treated, the water treated fibers, And then immediately we found that the dry fibers had less crystallite size, and then wet fibers had more crystallite size. Now it's very simple to look at these numbers. See, crystal size, I will take an example of CU, that is palm fiber. CU dry fiber has a crystallite size of 166 angstrom. CU, that is palm fiber, as in the wet form, that is you put the fiber in water, and then if you look at the crystallite size, it is 182 angstrom. Now essentially it means that wet fiber has got more harder, I mean more ordering. When you say more ordering, crystalline like ordering, then it has got more strength. Again, let me repeat, dry fiber has got less crystalline, less crystalline like order. Wet fiber has got more crystalline, and therefore it has got more crystalline like order. Any substance with more crystalline order leads to very long, strong strength of the material. That is, the modulus, bulk modulus of the material will be very large. So it is very difficult to break it. That is how we measure. So bulk modulus, Young modulus, they are all measured. It measures strength of the materials. So strength of the materials is related to modulus. The modulus, either in the form of Young's modulus or bulk modulus, which in turn related to crystalline like order. More crystalline like order, then you have more strength of the materials. Immediately this gives a very common, you know, place where you use jute fibers, you know, in construction materials while tying the bamboos or the supporting materials. You don't use jute fibers in a dry form. What you do is you put the jute fibers in water for some time and then use that to tie the poles or any supporting materials in construction material. So in construction places you use jute in the wet form, jute fibers in the wet form. In the similar fashion, here also we find that the strength is more in wet fibers. Fourier transform spectra gave very interesting results about the composition of the fibers. So this will clearly, and also the kind of bonds which play a role in strength of the fibers. For example, there were OH stretching, CH stretching, C double bond O stretching, and other out of plane bending like COH, all those things were there, which are common in both dry and wet fibers. So we could identify that these stretchings were mainly due to cellulose. That is the first important thing. See, we have seen these palm fibers and Rosella fibers in Uttar Karnataka, but we had no idea that these fibers were made up of cellulose. Now, FTR study very clearly gave out some features, signatures of cellulose in respect of bonding, stretching, rotational motion, and out of plane bending. All those functions, the signatures of cellulose were very clearly visible in FTR spectra, both for dry and wet fibers. Now these spectra were of quite important because it gave a very clear idea and supporting document, a sort of a supporting data, that palm fibers and Rosella fibers are essentially made up of cellulose. In that context, we also looked at the SEM image, photograph of dry and other things. The fiber fineness or calculated from gravimetric method. That is, you dip it in water and then find out the kind of change in the mass. This is called gravimetric method. And then you look at the denier. See, people define in textile industry, they define denier of the fiber. So we could identify, we could measure the denier of palm fiber and the rosella fibers. Palm fiber denier is 372. It's almost like thickness. And then 13.6 denier for rosella fiber. So the thickness is pretty good in the palm fibers. So thickness, strength are pretty good in palm fibers when compared to rosella fibers. So this is one thing which was quite evident from the characterization procedures. One is structure. See, when I say crystalloid size, we are looking at a scale of 10 to the power of minus 8 centimeter. Almost at the atomic level, we are looking at the crystalloid size, the kind of ordering at the atomic level or the molecular level. Now, this leads to strength of the fibers, which we measure in, shortly I will measure, tell you about the measurement of the mechanical strength of this fiber. And also, the kind of cellulose, that means the composition of the fibers. The maximum composition is from cellulose, different hemicellulose, all those kind of cellulose are there, hemicellulose and other kind of materials like lignin also is there, but very little amount. So these are the things that were there. So in the elemental analysis, we found that there is presence of carbon, oxygen and minor concentration of minerals. Here I would like to spend some time on minerals. Minerals are there in most of the naturally occurring materials. In fact, these minerals play a very important role in the biodegradational, aspects of the materials, which is highly impossible to find in any man-made fibers. So these biodegradable fibers have these minerals, the concentration of minerals, all types of minerals are there, but very, very, very minute composition. So cellulose, in fact, cellulose backbone structure is essentially made up of carbon, oxygen and hydrogen. Look at this. Cellulose, they are the main component of cotton, and cellulose are also the main component of naturally occurring fibers like rosella fibers and palm fibers. Cellulose is also, cotton is also naturally grown fiber. In fact, it also has a little bit of sodium and chlorine, but very little components in these fibers. But main components are carbon and oxygen, which forms the backbone of the fibers. So please remember that the fiber axis is always parallel to the C axis of crystallographic notation, and then you have layer-like arrangement of the planes of the molecules of cellulose. So we have not studied the structure or as such of these fibers, but we have looked at only the crystalline-like order at the molecular level. Now, in order to measure strength, see, we have measured structure. Now, structure aspect in terms of functional groups and the crystallite size. We would like to look at the property of these fibers. Now, the mechanical property of the fibers. So, what we did was we used an instrument which is normally available in engineering college labs, where they use strength, tensile strength, percentage of elongation at break, and elastic modulus which are related to mechanical properties of materials. In engineering college, you have all sorts of instruments to measure this, from the different size, smallest to the largest size of the materials. So the values of elongation at break, elastic modulus, tensile strength, along with the some important natural fibers, I will mention the values of this strength of these materials, right? Yes, this is very important. Now, we measured for the palm fibers in the dry form the tensile modulus, and it turned out to be 51 gigapascals. So the unit for tensile strength is gigapascal. So important aspect, unit for strength tensile modulus is gigapascal. The palm fibers in the dry form, it has 51 gigapascal. In the wet form, 63 gigapascal. Please note this important change in the measured values. This is experimentally measured values. We carry out the measurement of fibers, not one or two, but we do it for six different samples of the same fibers. Six different samples. Then we find out the statistical average and the deviation of these measured values. For the dry palm fibers, it turned out to be 51 gigapascal. For the wet palm fibers, it turned out to be 63 gigapascal. This is in concurrence with the usual common man's feeling of using jute fiber in the wet form while tying the poles in construction business. In the same way, these naturally occurring palm fibers do show a similar feature. Rosella fibers also, the dry form, the strength of the tensile strength is 38 gigapascals, and in the wet form 51 gigapascals. But the strength tensile modulus is very less in Rosella fibers compared to this palm fibers. Now the maximum is observed, this is maximum when compared to other fibers like sisal, hemp, coir, elephant grass and all those things. 63 and 51 of these fibers is maximum when it is compared with all other naturally occurring fibers. So very large tensile strength, and diameter is also very large, I mean of the order of same thing as other fibers. Elongation at break also, you know, quite significant. So these are all quite useful in industrial products. You can use it to prepare mats or curtains or any other textile products also. So these are all, you know, durable, long shelf life, and then you can make baskets out of these fibers. You can also make many other industrial products, you know, whatever you use as a fiber, cotton fiber, in the same way you can use this to prepare many other industrial products. So generally the maximum component in these fibers naturally occurring is cellulose. And then we observe that they form the backbone structure in this fiber. Right. Now, what is the behavior of this strength of the materials with the external strain of the fiber? Now, it is something like this. You pull the fiber, and then you, while pulling the fiber, you find the stress of the material. So this is a very simple experiment wherein you measure stress for various values of the strain. You can measure strain. Strain is nothing but change in length over original length. Stress, you define it as force per unit area. Force per unit area of, I mean, acting on the fiber, I mean, experienced by the fiber. Now, from Hooke's law, we know that stress is proportional to strain. But the experimental curve gave a very different result. Initially, for up to 1%, there was a linear behavior. That is, Hooke's law was observed for these fibers. So, Hooke's law verification was there up to 1% of the strain. Now, beyond 1%, it became the curve almost flattened. So, there was no much change, not much change for various strain values, the corresponding stress values. So, there was a transition. See, beyond 1% of the strain, the fiber started behaving in a different manner. Up to 1%, there was a linear change in the stress obeying Hooke's law. Now, Hooke's law states that stress is proportional. Because of strain, external strain of the fiber, there were many stress components, and these stress components changes with the value of the strain. In fact, the strain and stress, there are 9 strain components and there are 9 stress components. These two are related by a term which we call it as a tensor. These tensor, elastic tensor component, there are 81 elastic tensor components. Because of symmetry, the number of components reduces to 21, wherein we don't deform, the strain deformation does not involve rotational deformation. So, with this concentration, we find that the stress and strain are linear up to 1% of the strain, and beyond that, the fiber characteristics also change. So, while applying for the industrial, I mean, while using it in industrial application, one has to be careful that you do not deform these fibers beyond 1%, because most of the properties of these materials also change with the strain, and it becomes, there is a phase transition. So, beyond 1% of the deformation, there is a phase transformation. So, this, we had enough results, important results, and compared to all other naturally occurring fibers, and we also showed that this is quite interesting result, and immediately it was accepted in Journal of Agricultural Materials, and it was published in 2018, and this person, Journal of Natural Fibers, Taylor and Francis, pretty good journal. And another important thing is, this, in a way, gave a stepping stone to Dinesh Hegde, who is now NASA scientist in USA. So, he got a very good fellowship and also very good project. He is doing his PhD program in NASA. And this shows that a little bit of interest by student in characterization of materials grown or seen in their places or around their places, if they can bring those things, then we can do the characterization with available instrument in the University of Mysore, and then it will be a stepping stone for them to go abroad or to go further in their studies or to seek some jobs. So, with this, I will be continuing this talk on other form of natural materials. Here I looked at silk fibers and then natural fibers like palm. We have also studied seeds, which I will talk to you about those seeds. How to characterize seeds, for example, ragi seeds. What are the different types of ragi that you have, in and around Mysore? So, that also we will talk about it ಇನ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್.
ಇಷ್ಟು ಹೊತ್ತು ನಮ್ಮ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮದಲ್ಲಿ ತಮ್ಮ ಅಮೂಲ್ಯವಾದ ಸಮಯವನ್ನು ಹಂಚಿಕೊಂಡ ಪ್ರೊಫೆಸರ್ ಆರ್ ಸೋಮಶೇಖರ್ ಸರ್ ಅವರಿಗೆ ನಮ್ಮ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ ಮತ್ತು ಮೈಸೂರು ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯದ ಪರವಾಗಿ ಧನ್ಯವಾದಗಳು. ಆತ್ಮೀಯ ಕೇಳುವರೆ, ಈವರೆಗೂ ಈ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮವು ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ 89.6 ಎಫ್ಎಂ ನಲ್ಲಿ ಮೂಡಿ ಬಂದಿತ್ತು. ಸದಾ ಕೇಳುತ್ತಾ ಇರಿ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಮಾನಸ 89.6 ಎಫ್ಎಂ. ಇದು ಮೈಸೂರು ವಿಶ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಿಲಯದ ಪ್ರಸ್ತುತಿ.